Let's turn in our Bibles. You're going to need your Bibles for a little while this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles, first of all, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I just want to scatter you around just a little bit, but you'll need your Bible a little bit later in the sermon, too. So please keep that handy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start reading with verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You might recognize somebody in there. While we're there now, let's turn back just a couple pages forward, rather, to Titus chapter 2. Because you're warned of perilous times, and anybody can see that we do live in perilous times. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we can say this, though. We are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our church is Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're looking forward to the rapture. Yes. Amen? Amen? One other thing here, 2 Thessalonians, real quick, just a couple of books back. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And notice this time, verse 7, we've talked about the perilous times of this hour, talked about the coming rapture of the church. And then you notice here the great second coming of Christ. This would mark Armageddon. And notice where it says, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with the mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the days we live in, you have the rapture, and then in this passage, you have the second advent of Christ, essentially Armageddon, right? Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we kind of covered some of the high points of the last days just from reading these scriptures. There's many more hours could be spent and have been spent here. But I pray that you might help us this morning to get across something the world's doing right now. And I pray you just might mark how different a Christian's mindset should be from that. I pray you might help us along those lines. If there's somebody here this morning lost, I pray you deal with their hearts about their need for a Savior. And Father, for all Christians that are here this morning, Lord, I pray that you might further and better establish them in the faith and help our eyes to always look to the hills from whence cometh our help. We look forward to your coming back. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say to start with this morning that the world is not my inspiration for sermons at all. And I'm glad for that. But once in a while, somebody comes up with some knuckleheaded, cockeyed idea. And I just have to there's such a disparity between what the world does, says, thinks, and how it evaluates things, and how it's supposed to be for us, that I sometimes just can't help myself. I can't help but compare my lot with theirs. And, you know, we were at a funeral yesterday, and most of those folks there that spoke were clearly lost, and it was a kind of a hopeless, despairing type thing. And I do hope that David was saved and all those things, and maybe he was. But, you know, I just was reminded yesterday, once again, having already worked on this sermon, had it pretty much together, just how different a Christian's mindset, as long as it's attuned to the Bible, is than what most people walk around with in their heads out there. Okay? So I want to talk to you for a little while about that. I am so glad to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. I mean, I'm glad to know Him. I'm glad that I have a Bible. He gave me His words, perfect. I'm glad to have a book. I'm glad to have salvation. I'm glad to have promises that are from a God that cannot lie. I'm glad to have those things. And so I come to that this morning, and again, for the way the world looks at some things and the way we do, it's almost such a disparity as to be a different reality. And We struggle with it. It takes faith and all those things. But I just want to preach for a little while this morning about something. I'll tell you in just a second. We know the times are perilous. That's the first text we read. This, know that in the last days perilous times shall come. We clearly live in a dangerous world, right? That has been proven in many different aspects. You know, going back to the Irish Republican Army and the Palestinian Liberation Movement and all a dozen things, COVID and George Floyd and all that stuff, we've all had to kind of ramp up with a little bit of concern and some alarm, not alarm, but safety precaution because of how perilous the times have become. Plainly, what's going on in Ukraine right now is something that is of concern. Plainly, what Israel faces today is evident and in the news. It's a perilous world we live in. Oh, yeah. That's what the first text said that we read. And so I'm just reminded as we go through this that, you know, you have the Lord Jesus Christ prophesying and saying that there shall be wars, rumors of wars. Nations shall rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, etc. And I'm quoting you Matthew 24, and I won't take you there, but there's three statements in that passage I want to point out to you. In the midst of talking about wars, rumors of wars, nations rising, and pestilence, and earthquake, and everything else going on, the Lord says this in verse 4. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. That's a really good high point. Don't let a man deceive you. But the second thing is even more apropos to what I'm preaching this morning. He says, in light of wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquake, disease, COVID-19. He says, interestingly in verse 6, see that ye be not troubled. You just told me that there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, and nations shall rise, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and so on and so forth, and I'm not supposed to be troubled. That's a different mindset. Right? And then he says this to close this off. He says, and by the way, the end is not yet. You think it's so bad, it's not over yet. And so, again, here's the world with their hair on fire and everything else running around like chickens with their heads cut off in panic over COVID, in panic over George Floyd, in panic over this, in panic over that. In fact, they'll panic at just about anything. And meanwhile, we're calling, hey, don't let it bother you. That's a remarkable disjunction between thought, right? It's a remarkable difference between us and what a Christian's supposed to be and what the world is, right? So that said, let me bring up my subject this morning. You may have heard of it before. I don't know how many of you have. The world has come up with something called a doomsday clock. How many of you have heard of the doomsday clock? Quite a few, okay, but there's quite a few that apparently haven't. So let me tell you what it is. It's the brainchild of something called the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And what it marks, it's a clock. It's not so much a clock on a wall somewhere, but it's the idea, theoretically, of the likelihood of a human-made global catastrophe. And the way it came about was right after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This is 1947 now, so this is not newfangled millennial type stuff. This is 1947. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists came up with this clock to try to reflect what time it is and how close we are to global catastrophe that's man-made. It's updated each year and has been every year since 1947 in January, okay? So we're due for a new update in January. So let me tell you about it. First of all, midnight on the clock marks global catastrophe for human beings, possibly, you know, a kill everybody type event. So we're just, depending on how close it is to midnight, we're all going to die by human global human-made global catastrophe. In 1947, right after the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs went off, this is just a couple years later, the clock's original setting was 7 minutes till midnight. So in their view, in 1947, it was 7 minutes till total global catastrophe on their clock. Now, just so you know, the original concern was just nuclear disaster, but as expected, it spread to a lot of other things now. And so now, included is climate change, bioterrorism, artificial intelligence, and cyber warfare. And so in 1947, we were 7 minutes, in their opinion, to midnight global catastrophe. In 1953, we went to 2 minutes till midnight because the U.S. started testing a thermonuclear bomb, not just a nuke, but a thermonuke. In 1963, we moved it back to 12 minutes till midnight because of the test ban treaty. And following that, a couple of years later, only 10 minutes, and then 12 minutes back because of the non-proliferation treaties and the SALT treaties and all that stuff. I'm not going to take you through all that stuff, but I knew it in 2017 when Trump started talking about nukes. I knew Donald Trump was the cause of this. And climate change, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists moved the clock to 2 minutes till midnight.
Oh no.
2018, still nukes and climate, 2 minutes till midnight. In 2020, again because of Trump, the clock moved to 100 seconds before midnight. It's just a minute and two-thirds. In 2023, with the present year, with the Ukrainian war, and of course still COVID-19 concerns, I just want you to know we are now 90 seconds before midnight. Global catastrophe. Doomsday. It's a doomsday clock. 2024, well, it's not January yet. 2024, I mean, right now we have a war going in Israel, so I wouldn't be surprised if we're even on a shorter leash than we are now. Now, there are a few things I want to say seriously because I'm kind of kidding with some of this. Few things illustrate better the world's mindset towards things versus what a Christian's mindset should be. I'm talking about a Bible-believing Christian. I mean, somebody's claiming the promises of the Bible, believing the words of the Bible. Somebody that's serious about this. You know, what the Christian's mindset is said to supposed to be through Paul and various other writers of the Word of God. Now, here's what I draw from this. First of all, just an observation. I'll be preaching to you this morning on the doomsday clock. Read that, doomsday clock. Something really sinister, you know, but yeah, it's going up on doomsday. An observation. First of all, the world knows man is on a grease skid to disaster. Now, the world also believes that we took billions and billions of years to evolve. Now, don't look now, but billions and billions of years is kind of casual. So I think that some scientists should chill out. After all, even in a nuclear environment, wouldn't evolution still be at play if it's real? And so, what's the problem? I think that one of the things you have to acknowledge here is the world acknowledges that something is wrong. And from there, I can go on to say that I have five or six things I just want to, describe in one word or less, as far as the point is concerned, just the frame of mind of the world, and let you see what a Christian's mind should be. First of all, let me say that considering that the world doesn't know what's really going on spiritually at all, would you notice that their frame of mind is, first of all, darkness? Now, let me take you to a couple of verses real quick. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. But on the doomsday clock. Ephesians 4. Now, I said that here are a bunch of folks, and they think that we're 90 seconds on their clock, whatever that means in time, from global catastrophe, presumably an extinction event for humankind. Now it says in Ephesians chapter 4, and notice verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore," now this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, "and testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts." There's another one I'd like to quote you, but it says that this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. That's the Jesus Christ saying that. I want to say, first of all, that with regard to, again, we're talking about a doomsday clock this morning, the world's invention. But you can say this too about mankind in general. I like to say that their mindset is one of darkness. There is this innate alarm that man has that somehow he's on the brink of disaster. And he's not wrong, right? I mean, he's not wrong about that, but they misdiagnose the threat. The doomsday clock is built first around the nuclear disaster, then they folded into it bioterrorism, cyber warfare, climate change, and somewhere along the way I'm figuring that somebody's going to work in some asteroids into it. Otherwise, you know, worldwide pandemics, aliens, and certainly COVID-19. Now, I want to say they misdiagnose the cause. They think that it's a man-made disaster. In some ways, they're right, but I'll explain that in a second. Now, first of all, let me just say this. The threat is not nuclear war. I'll tell you what the threat is. Now, from the Bible, right? The threat is God. The threat is the judgment of God, first of all, upon an individual that dies without Christ, then has to go face judgment eventually. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That's the threat. The judgment of God, for one. Then on mankind, Jesus Christ is going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's called Armageddon. Okay, that's the threat. The threat is not a thing. The threat is God, the creator of the universe, a holy God who holds me and you and everybody else in this world accountable for our sins. And by the way, I can say this. The cause of all this is not so much a man-made thing. The cause is sin. Now that's man sinning. But the issues in this world don't revolve around nuclear stuff and asteroids and epidemics and bioterrorism. The issues in this world that God's concerned about deals with sin. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in flaming fire, He's coming back in flaming fire to take vengeance on sin. Right? Personal sins against God. Now, in light of that, who here is saved this morning? You've been born again. Are you saved? Amen. Okay. Don't know who's here that's not, because I didn't take a careful check of hands. So you're good. But think, for all of us Christians that are here this morning, think of the light that you and I have. We said that their mind is in darkness. And so they're guessing. They're reacting to what they perceive as threats. But think of the light that you and I have. Lord says, I would not have you ignorant brethren towards them that are asleep. For all the folks that are dead, all the Christians that are dead right now, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about what's going to happen to them. Right? He said to us, he said, don't be ignorant that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. He said, behold, I tell you a mystery, something you can't know, something you can't find. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I'm talking about Christians. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You see how much light you have on things? He says, don't be troubled, nor be shaken in mind as that the day of Christ is at hand. You guys, it's perilous times, but don't worry about it. Jesus Christ is coming back to get you, he says. Don't worry about it. It's a totally different mindset. The world's in a panic. They're ready to do anything. Put on a Barney the Dinosaur suit and walk around. Just do something. He says, you guys, chill out. That's essentially it. I'm not in a panic about Ukraine. I'm not in a panic about Israel. I'm not in a panic, was not in a panic about COVID. If I die from COVID, oh, I get to go to heaven. This is true. Listen, how different is the mind frame of a Christian for whom to live is Christ, but to die is gain?
Amen. Yeah, come on.
I want to say that I know how this ends. Now, there are details that we don't quite know. I mean, we can't say at exact what moment the Antichrist arises or anything like that, or what exact time frame it is that the rapture happens, but we know the order of things. I know the order of things. Not worry about Armageddon. I'm out of here before Armageddon. Praise the Lord, right? Before the end of the world comes, we're gone. But their minds are in darkness. We're called not to fear. Well, they're rattling the cages and ringing the bells for everybody to be in alarm. Set your hair on fire and run around like chickens with your heads cut off. Just do something. We're not called to be there at all. We're called to sit by and say, even so, come Lord Jesus, let's do it.
Amen. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, let me just show you something else. So the first word to describe the mindset, this comes from the idea of the doomsday clock. I mean, doomsday! You know, it's like, whoa! And it's darkness. They don't know what's coming. You know what's coming. The second thing that I would use to describe the mindset is catastrophe. Their viewpoint is catastrophic. Doomsday! The doomsday clock. When the clock strikes midnight, it's doomsday. It's an extinction event. It's midnight. And all is black. And we all explode or something. It's the end of the world. Right? Nuclear devastation. Climactic desolation. A pandemic or bio threat that vanquishes all life on earth. You say you're making fun of it. Yeah. Yeah, I am. AI, artificial intelligence. What are we? Is we're talking about a robotic world, I guess? I don't know what that even looks like. But you talk about a different reality. But doomsday, it's the end of the world. Now, wait a second. According to Matthew 13:39, the harvest is the end of the world. Harvest. Boy, that's scary. No harvest. And another place, it says, tell us about thy coming, Christ's coming in the end of the world. Oh, at the end of the world, it's Jesus Christ coming. We're called to look forward to that. Right? In another place, it talks about the end of the world being the severance of the wicked from the just. So it's a harvest that separates wicked people from just people. Okay. That means that we're all not going to die in a nuclear holocaust or in, you know, super steroid COVID-19 disease. Right? There's yet another verse that says, and there's this, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Oh, I'm promised him accompanying me to the end of the world. Well, that's not like, that's like, oh no, it's 1 second before midnight. Oh, doomsday. Doomsday clock. It's a different reality. You realize it's a different reality from the bulletin of atomic scientists and all those folks running around with their hair on fire about some squirrel that went extinct. I had science in college. Don't tell me that 1 degree temperature on Earth increase is going to melt everything. That we're all going to wind up to here in water. I don't buy it. Right? Listen, I need you to see this. Their mindset of catastrophe is actually said to be our hope. In light of the second coming of Christ, we are looking for that blessed hope. Amen. And glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Bible, a hope is an expectation defined in Proverbs 10. Okay? We expect some things to happen because God promised them. And it's not described as, boy, you guys better watch out because I'm coming to get you. No. The second coming of Christ for us, it's a great hope. It's a blessed hope. It's the name of our church. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says that Christ is our hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. You've been born again. You've begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got saved, you passed from a hopeless world into a world of hope and promise. From a God that cannot lie. And so when they say doomsday clock, I go, oh good, here we go again. Because they predicted it just about 6 jillion times. In Titus chapter 1, it says that we are in hope of eternal life. The bottom line is, it's a different reality. The end for us, the end of the world, marks a brand new beginning. Yeah. It's another chapter. In fact, it's an eternal chapter. So I say to you that the mindset of darkness for us is light. The mindset of catastrophe is for us hope. Totally different worlds, parallel universes, different planes, all living under the same circumstances. There's another word I'd have to point out to you. The word is fluctuation. By that I mean they take you on this teeter-totter of panic and fear where midnight is doomsday. The doomsday clock. The clock has never been further than 17 minutes from midnight, according to our panic-stricken scientists. And right now it sets at 90 seconds to midnight this year, without taking into account the coming Israeli war and present upheaval there. Okay? But Just notice how we've gone from 7 minutes to 12 minutes to 10 minutes to 17 minutes to 1 minute to 2 minutes to 100 seconds to it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, it's like watching a tennis match. Pretty soon you're just dizzy, you know? So what's the point? Well, now think about this. You would think, God being God and us being sinners, that if God's going to communicate with us, maybe He could use this fluctuation to His benefit. After all, if you guys don't live right, I'm going to get you. I'm going to come back and wipe you out. Is that what He does? The world says, man, we're all going to die. Oh yeah, we're closer to death now than ever. Wait a minute though. That's not the Lord's take at all. Did you know that in the same passage that talks about the rapture, behold, I show you a mystery, we shall all sleep, we shall all be changed. You know what it says? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because you know your labor is not vain in the Lord. You know, while everybody else is sent in this fluctuation of panic and fear, Lord says, steady on, be steadfast. You're a Christian. You have the promises of a God that cannot lie. That's never misled anybody. Ever. And meanwhile, you sit around and you don't even have any fingernails. They're chewed down to where they're bleeding because you're so worried. No, that's not to be your mindset. I read, Paul is complimenting the Ephesians on their steadfastness. The steadfastness of their faith in Christ during tribulation and trouble, during affliction, but their steadfastness. He says, you don't have to panic, be steadfast. We are admonished to be confident and to hold firm our faith to the end. We're called to acknowledge the certainty of the words of truth, the certainty of the promises, rooted and built up Him and established in the faith. It's steady on. For us, it's not waiting for the next news cycle where somebody else throws another rattlesnake into the bin to scare us further. For us, it's, good, the end's closer. Steady on. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. It's a different reality, different plane. You understand? It's our mindset is not supposed to be like theirs. We should not be affected by what comes across the news where, oh my goodness, I wasn't expecting that. Well, half the time they're lying anyway. Why are you bothered? I know why. But you shouldn't be. There's another, darkness. The darkness for them is light for us, the mindset. The catastrophe for them is hope, expectation, joyful at that. The fluctuation, the never-ending seesaw back and forth for them is supposed to be steadfastness for us. It's supposed to give us confidence that things are falling apart because it means the Lord's coming back sooner. I mean, I don't know a better way to illustrate what a Christian's mind is supposed to be than to compare it to what knuckleheads who have no light think. I'll give you another one here. Again, mentioned fear and panic in another context, but just the mindset of the world, ladies and gentlemen, very much revolves around fear and panic. You cannot overlook the fact the world wants you scared. And Satan's the god of this world, and Satan wants you scared. It's been one wave after another, and you know some of what I'm going to say already, but when I was a kid, it was the killer bees coming up from Mexico. They were going to sting us and kill us. Somehow it never happened. Remember mad cow disease? One Canadian cow got the disease and we all were going to die. Didn't happen. COVID-19. I know it's bad. We lost some folks here from it. I'm not making fun of it. But it wasn't worth the panic. Because while some folks died from COVID-19, depending on the record keeping, people have always died from pneumonia. People have always died from a dozen other diseases that somehow last year that or 2 years ago they didn't die from. Because it was all COVID. Something a little bit flaky there going on for what it's worth. But the environment, it's been a source of panic now for several years. You know, what most of you don't realize because you're too young is that global warming in the late 70s was another ice age. It was absolutely certain. If you are over 55 years old, you heard that another dinosaur killing ice age was coming on. And now for the last 10 years, it's been global warming. Same scientists. Asteroids. Remember the asteroid scare? For several news cycles, you couldn't get on the news, you couldn't look at the news because it was all the asteroids. We were bound to get hit by an asteroid and it was going to bring on an extinction event. Aliens? Recently, artificial intelligence. I don't even know what that's all about, honestly. Remember when the oil spills were going to swallow up the oceans, all the fish were going to die, and we were going to starve? As it turns out, the bacteria in oceans, the oceans produce a bacteria that eats oil. But fear, panic. So it's Wall Street, it's nukes, it's one thing after another. Now, in light of that, I'll take you to a couple of verses here in a second, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, the context is the day of the Lord. I mean, it's talking about the coming wrath of God. And you know what it said tells Christians to do? To put on the breastplate of faith. And the world says, run! Do something! Gotta do something! The Lord says, chill out. Put on a breastplate of faith. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll read you this verse. Now, this is in context of Christ coming back in flaming fire, okay? Taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In that context, three verses later it says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all of the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. While the world is kicking and screaming about we should panic, we're all going to die, it's all coming to an end very soon. It's only 90 seconds. To doomsday. Lord says, put on faith and power. It's a lot different. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God hath not given us, Christians, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Your mind is not to, you're not supposed to reflect what they do. Now, let me just say this again, several things. Darkness, our minds are light. Catastrophe, it's our hope. How more opposite do you get? What's catastrophe in their minds is bring it on for us. Fluctuation, panic. Up today, better tomorrow, oh, way down next day. Oh. And so you're just always jerked back and forth. Lord says, steady on. Steady. Steadfast. Unmovable. always abounding in the work of the Lord. Fear, panic, and how about faith and power? Okay, reaction. It's a reactionary mindset. Do something. Electric cars. Go down to the oil spill and find the ducks and clean them up. Just do something. Like it's going to help. Really? Put up a solar panel? It's not going to replace oil. I'm not trying to make a political statement here. They're saying, though, just do something. Do anything. Because it's just reactionary. Now, for us, let me just take you to a couple of verses. I want to have you turn to these. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, if you're aggravated at me already this morning, don't worry, I'm almost done. But if you're aggravated at me, you know why it is? It's because you've spent too much time with the stinking news.
Amen.
You've spent too much time in the world and not enough time in the book that's in your hand, or perhaps the one that's under your chair that's not in your hand. And no, I haven't looked, so I don't know. Some people don't even bring a Bible to church. I think that's a shame. That's your heritage as a Bible believer. All right, now, okay, so the world is reactionary. Okay, what are you to be? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Now, it says that in everything ye are enriched by him, by Jesus Christ. That's certainly true in my life, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Waiting. The world says, oh, we've got to do something. We've got to do anything. No. I'll just wait. When he comes, he comes. I'll just wait. How about this? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And notice down in verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts. Lord's trying to direct your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Don't expect me to recycle. I ain't doing it. In fact, I'm going to burn plastic if I get a chance.
Amen.
Because we're supposed to be doing something. Recycle! Folks, there are mounds of diapers in this world that would gag Godzilla. If you think for a moment that the planet will be destroyed because of your plastic bags, give me a break. I'm not going to get panicked and run around and change. I'm not going to become a vegan. No! I don't care that cows flatulate. I was raised on a farm. I know it well. I'm going to keep eating them. They're trying to get you to react so that you change, because you changing for their panic attacks proves to them that you can be herded like a cow. I'm not interested. I'm happy to sit here and patiently wait, which I'm directed to wait for Jesus Christ. Really, the last couple of things I have to say is, first of all, this doesn't fit. One of the last things I have to say is, it's not just that their dark mindset is reflected by our light. Their catastrophe is our hope. Their fluctuation should be our steadfastness. their fear, their panic should be our walk of faith and power. Their reactionariness, if that's a word, should be for us a patient waiting. And there's one last thing that bugs me, because they said, midnight is global disaster. Doomsday. I'm breaking out my Halloween voice, even though I don't celebrate Halloween, whatever. But midnight. Midnight is their standard. Midnight is spooky. Midnight is dark. Oh, midnight is, ooh. You know, the weird thing is that, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 13. The end of this world for us is not midnight. Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Go down to verse 12. Romans 13, 12. Paul said the night is far spent. The day's at hand. They're talking about a doomsday clock that ends at midnight and then we all are dead. Well, first of all, we ain't all dead. Second of all, we're not looking for midnight. We're looking for daylight. We're looking for morning. They got it all wrong. They have it all wrong. We're looking for daylight. We're looking for the sun rising. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is the last verse I'll take you to. 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice verse 19. Now, the context here, just so you know, is verse 17. For he received from God, Christ received from God the Father, honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, so the disciples stood around and heard the voice of God say to about his Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. They heard the voice from heaven, right? Yeah. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? A voice from heaven. The sure word of prophecy that you hold in your lap is better than a voice from heaven. And it goes on to say, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. The world has midnight as doom. The end of this world ends when the sun rises. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. It's night now for us. We're looking for the morning to come. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying. Now, I could probably figure this out. Because like I said, we are as close now. And probably in January, you can anticipate the doomsday clock moving even fewer seconds. I mean, we're going from probably 90 seconds to a lot less just because of the war in Israel. Conceivably, anyway. Okay, so here you have, you're going to be what? A minute before midnight, doomsday. Right? What time is it for us? Well, to figure out time, you'd have to know exactly when Christ is coming back. And you can't do better than 7 days of prophecy, man's prophecy with, you know, and so right now, all I can say is, I don't know what time it is. I know it's 11 p.m. plus well over 50 plus minutes. I don't know if you have a second left or 2 seconds or five. I can tell you this, you are near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the nearer we get, the less you need to reflect what this world is trying to shove down your throat. Folks, we have the mind of Christ. This book is said to be the mind of Christ. Your mind, your heart is supposed to reflect this book. And I think of all the panicked people in this world that have been shoved into various corners, and some of them are vegans and some of them are wild-eyed environmentalist tree-hugging, you know, I don't know, bark-eating people, whatever. And ladies and gentlemen, people get shoved to those places. It's ridiculous. Especially when you have the light that you have. And that's really the shame. That's really one of the things that shows the apostasy of the body of Christ, is because they lap up this world's nonsense like dogs. And it ought not be. Now listen, I know that maybe you have come across this morning to some people here who maybe not accustomed to this, with an attitude or whatever, but let me just tell you, if you've never been saved, Jesus Christ is your answer. I mean, Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the one, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And he can give you a new heart. You'd be made a new creature. And he gave you this to absorb so that you could think like him. Amen. And this corrects this stinking demon-possessed world. Every day of the week, every hour of the day, every minute of the day, even when you're asleep. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father,